Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? A lot of good stuff. Just go to podcastarena.com. You'll find it all there.
To Twitter, Gilroy said, to me, Aggie is equal to Oregon. 8-5 should be the floor, with every 3 to 4 years be able to challenge for a playoff spot. Thoughts? And to me, challenging for a playoff spot means you're winning 11 games, right? At this day and age, you got to win 11 games.
Yes.
At least 11 games. I mean, I'm not an old man. And I'm looking at this now, and I would say that you've seen it the same amount of times that I have. In my lifetime and in Fred's lifetime, the Aggies have won 11 games exactly 3 times.
Yeah.
Once in 1992, once in 1998, and in 2012.
And if I'm not mistaken, one of those years they went 13-1, they were on probation. Going way back.
The 12-1 R.C. Slocum,
yeah.
Was that team?
No, it would have been, I think it was Slocum's team.
Because Jackie Sherrill's teams were on, they went 10-2 1 year, and then the next year they were ineligible for anything because.
Yeah, I thought they were 13-1 1 year, but were on probation.
No, 12-1 is the best year they've ever had.
Yeah, it would have been 12-1 because at the time you wouldn't have gotten a 13th game if you were on probation.
So.
Or 14th game.
I mean, is eight wins a reasonable floor for them? Yeah, but to say that they should be challenging for a playoff spot,
I would
maybe they should be.
I think they should be. Here's what I would say to that though. I think the time frame is longer than what he said. How many years did he say?
Every 3 to 4 years.
No, I think realistically every 5 to 6 to 7 years, and they had their 1 year at the beginning of this. But this is a better program now. It's better situated being in the SEC. They're recruiting better. And I don't think this is the Aggies. I do think this move for them has been fantastic. And I think it's made them a much more prominent program. And the expectation should be higher. But you should never expect to be competing for a national title every 3 years unless you've got Nick Saban or Urban Meyer. And that's it. The list ends there.
You know how many times A&M's finished in the top four in the rankings in my lifetime? Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. So to say that they should be expecting to be in the playoff with any kind of regularity, I think is tough.
No, I think competing for that is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Every 6 or 7 years.
I mean, they've finished in the top 10 once in the last 20 years.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is fairly meaningless because I do think this is a different program now than it was 10 years
right.
ago.
It is, but it also means that they're in the same division now with LSU and Alabama. And while the SEC brought them a lot of notoriety and it's probably brought them a lot of recruits that they wouldn't have otherwise gotten, it's also upped the level of competition around them. And I mean, they were a middle of the pack Big 12 team when they left. And that's exactly what they've settled to in the SEC, is kind of the middle of the pack. So it's.
But I don't think that should be your expectation.
Okay. Well, the expectation, like I said.
But I also think it's unrealistic to say every 2 or 3 years. That's the only way you do that is if you get Nick Saban or Urban Meyer. Even a program like Florida State. Florida State, which is in, I think, a much easier conference. They're kind of up there every year, but they're not going to be in the playoffs every 3 years. Even as good as they are. Clemson, same thing. You're going to probably have one of those guys. But
I would also point out that Florida State and Clemson have had more of a track record of success than Texas A&M.
Absolutely.
I mean, Texas A&M is, as a brand, is mega. I mean, it's probably one of the top 10 brands in college football. But as far as on-field success,
they've completely underachieved.
They're nowhere near a top 10 college football program. Nowhere even close to it.
All right, so let me put it to you this way. Let's say tomorrow Kevin Sumlin decides he's going somewhere else. Who's out there that can get them to that level? Who would be available? Who would you go get?
I mean, listen. It's this. We had this conversation with Texas. I mean, and I would say that A&M has. They've got similar resources to what Texas has.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, money's not really an issue for them.
No, they can spend as much as they want.
But
and they're in a great recruiting area.
But again, like you said it. To me, there's a very small handful of guys. Nick Saban, an Urban Meyer, and I think Jim Harbaugh's on his way to being in that group.
Yeah, agreed.
But there's very few coaches that can make a program.
Chip Kelly?
No. Chip Kelly only got Oregon to a playoff once. I mean, it wasn't even him that got him to a playoff. So, no.
He got to the championship game with Kelly.
Okay.
And then Helfrich got him to the playoffs once. Yeah.
So, but I don't think Chip Kelly alone would suddenly make Texas A&M a playoff contending team. I think Kevin Sumlin's a pretty good coach. I don't know what I think that they should expect better than what they're getting out of Kevin Sumlin. And I'm not saying Kevin Sumlin should be in some kind of safe zone where his job's not on the line, but. Like you said, what name could Texas A&M go pull that's guaranteed to be better?
Well, and that's the thing. Unless you think the next guy is available, you're keeping him for next year anyway.
Right.
But if he goes 10 wins next year, okay, that's pretty damn good. That's pretty close to where you need to be. If he goes 8-5 again, I think maybe that's the best you're ever going to get out of that coaching staff. That would be 4 years in a row. And if that's the case.
But, Fred, I would also note that go back through the last 20 years of Aggie football. I mean, they're 8-5 is like, it's probably above average.
Yeah, but
Texas A&M is.
I think going back to when they were in the Big 12 isn't really applicable to where they are now with the new facilities.
The records are the same.
Yeah, I know, but I don't.
I mean, the on-field performance is the same. The swag level, I'm sure, is much higher. But
well, it's more than that. I mean, they've expanded that stadium. They've got all new facilities. They put all kinds of money into that program. I mean, the potential is so much better than it was even 10 years ago. Just not being taken advantage of. And you have to have the right coach. It just comes down to that.
They should hire Charlie Strong.
No.
No?
No, I don't think that would work. But
they should hire Dennis Franchione.
That didn't work.
No.
I mean,
it worked out about like this has.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of torn. I think you're getting about as much as you could expect, but this is the low end of what you should expect. And next year, to me, if we're talking about once every 5, 6, 7 years, you get to 11 wins and at least be in the conversation. And you can tell me, well, they were in the conversation earlier this year. Well,
you got to play the full season.
You got to play the full season.
The Vikings were in the conversation for the Super Bowl about week six.
So were the Eagles after week four. So I
remember Carson Wentz was going to be the rookie of the year.
Yeah. Remember how that worked out? So from that perspective, I think what they really need is he needs to have a big year next year. I just think 10, 11 wins next year, whether that gets you in the playoff conversation or not, whether it puts you where Wisconsin was this year, that's still pretty good. I'll say it, New Year's Six Bowl. That should be the goal next year. 8-5 again? I don't know.
Chris says, Western Michigan, P.J. Fleck is an awesome coach, recruiter, and man, though recruiting in Texas is tougher, he's going to be great, in my opinion. He might be great. It's too big of a job jump.
Yeah, it is.
It's way too big of a job jump. To go from Western Michigan to the middle of the SEC, that he would go the way of the Charlie Strong is the way he would
go. And we've seen this with a lot of guys. And this one, as much as I like Baylor's hire, this is one fair concern. Guys with no Texas ties here have a hard time, no matter how good a coach they are.
Yeah.
And even if you hire a bunch of guys who have ties to the state, it's so hard
and
to
That's why we're saying it would take guys like Nick Saban or Urban Meyer. Those guys don't need Texas ties. It doesn't matter. When that's your name, it doesn't matter.
Jim Harbaugh, too.
Yeah. Those guys don't – they don't need ties to the state. Their resume recruits for them.
But I'll tell you
– But the number of guys like that that exist in this world are very limited.
That's – I think you've just named him. Because I think if you go to the next tier, it'd be a guy like Dabo Swinney or Jimbo Fisher.
Are they a guaranteed lock? Probably not.
I don't think they are.
Yeah. And if you're talking about getting like an up-and-coming type guy, it shouldn't be from Western Michigan. It should be like David Shaw, someone like that, like someone who's already been in big boy football and just wants to get a raise.
About Dan Mullen. Coach Dan Mullen.
That name do anything for you, really?
I think he's a damn good coach. He's gotten that team as far as it can go. I think he could do better at A&M. But again, that's one of those. But realistically, are they better than what you have?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, I can't say with full confidence that Dan Mullen's a better coach than Kevin Sumlin.
I can't either.
I mean, they went 6-7 this year. So I don't know. I mean, they've had, just like Kevin Sumlin, they've had one 10-win season under him, and he's been there for twice as long. So
I do think it's a hell of a lot harder to win at Mississippi State.
It is, no doubt. But don't you want a guy
you're talking about a guy who won 10 games in the SEC at a school like that.
But don't you want a guy who's able to overcome stuff like that? That's how you get on the radar, is you become a consistent winner at a place where you're not supposed to be. Yeah. And that's how Harbaugh got his name up where it was, because he was a consistent winner at Stanford where you just don't win. That's what you need to do. You need to start winning at a place where people aren't used to seeing you win.
They could hire Rex Ryan. Get out of here, Rex Ryan.
That's true. He is available. Thank God.
That whole NFL coach worked out really well last time.
Yeah.
Now I think we're going to be having a conversation about this time next year over where they go from here.
I mean, how about a guy like Mike McIntyre, who has turned a program in Colorado, which was total garbage. Well, actually took two, because he took San Jose State from total garbage. Yep. To like a 9 or 10 win program.
It's back to being total garbage.
Then got the Colorado job, which was...
That was a nightmare.
I mean, they couldn't win a game in the Pac-12 to save their life. And they're a 10 win program now. They lost one game in conference. I mean, what about a guy like him?
Nope.
Of course, this is the first year he's had success there.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
You'd like to see him do that twice before you really buy into it. But. Yeah.
And
but that's a guy who's.
But that's the kind of guy, and even Chris Peterson. Those are the kind of guys that's the up and comer you should want, not PJ Fleck.
I'm with you.
That's all I'm saying. What do we got here?
You've got my bookie.
I do. No.
Oh, my computer career.
Yeah,
I've got two of these. Look at that.
You've got your wrong my thing.
My something or another.
Yeah.
My computer career. Listen, guys, if you're looking for a career with great income potential, great job security, IT could be right for you. And if you like working or playing with computers, IT's got you covered, guys. Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There are companies all over this great city looking to hire IT guys. But to get these jobs, you got to have the right skills and certifications. The place to go to get them, mycomputercareer.edu. It's more than just a school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry, because they partner with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Most students starting their first job in just a few months. You're attending class only twice a week on campus or live online, so your learning fits into your life. At My Computer Career, you're in and out of school in less than a year, and financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Great place for vets to get started. What are you waiting for? Go to mycomputercareer.edu now. Take the free career evaluation today. Find out if an IT career is right for you, and if it is, start getting that money, bro. mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz.
The Blitz. Touching you. Take my hand through the flame. I touch you. I'm a slave to you.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Be happy to take your phone calls.
Hey, I saw something else on Twitter today. It's like, this is two things today that kind of set me off. And then when I actually went and researched it, it kind of changed my opinion.
I saw a tweet that the Astros sent out earlier today, and it was comparing Billy Wagner, his stats, to guys in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And it was really misleading. And I'm just, the first thing I thought was, oh, this is so freaking ridiculous. Because it compares his saves to, like, Dennis Eckersley, who, by the way, spent 12 years as a starting pitcher. You know, Raleigh Fingers, Goose Gossage, guys like that who are in the Hall, who also played in a much different era where they were pitching two or three innings. You know, that was before the one-inning save guy. And beyond that, every single one of these guys, they're doing like save percentage, ERA, opponent's batting average, whip, and Ks per nine innings. And you look at all that, and he's number one in all those compared to those guys. So I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to pump up their guy. Didn't list World Series wins, which every single one of those guys were part of important World Series teams. And I just thought it was kind of ridiculous. But
can we just go ahead and say it, and it's probably not the popular opinion in this town, Billy Wagner's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, I'm going to, and I'm going to write about this tomorrow too, but you kind of go and start comparing him to Mariano Rivera and Trevor Hoffman. To me, that's the peers, right?
Those are the Hall of Famers that he played against.
Right. Those are guys
that played in his era, I should say.
The one thing lacking, which obviously Rivera's got all the World Series. He's in, I think.
He's 100%
locked. It's hard for relievers. But the one thing I found, because my first thought was there's no way, and there really isn't anyway, but it's not as dumb as it sounds, because when you look at every other number, you know, besides the total saves, he's better than those guys across the board.
Better than Mariano Rivera?
Everything, but ERA, Rivera hasn't beaten ERA, but everything else, all those other stats, he had a better career. Now,
not counting the postseason, obviously.
No.
Mariano Rivera is maybe the best postseason pitcher,
and that's the thing. You can't make an argument. But when you just actually start comparing what he did, and I think the postseason thing in the World Series are huge because and that's why Rivera's the gold standard. I think Hoffman's a more comparable guy, and I don't think he's getting in either.
If he does, it's going to be long after Rivera gets in.
Yeah. But now both those guys had almost 200 more saves than Billy Wagner had. But everything else over a 16-year career, ERA, Ks per nine innings, all those things, pretty damn good numbers. I don't think they're Hall of Fame numbers, but it was just it made me go back and really look at it, and I kind of came away going, you know, it's not that far fetched that he should get some votes. I don't think he should get in. I don't know that I like that they're leaking this stuff.
I mean, the fact that Lee Smith still isn't in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and see, that's another guy that I think you have to...
I mean, if Lee Smith isn't in the Hall of Fame, Billy Wagner's not
in
the Hall of Fame.
I'll be honest. A reliever should not get in unless... And I don't care about the old guys that are already in there.
Right.
With the exception of Eckersley.
Eckersley was deserving.
Yeah, because not only was he a great closer for a long time, he was a pretty good starting pitcher for a long time.
But Rivera is the one guy that I'm like, that guy should be in the Hall of Fame.
Otherwise, because closers are such specialists now, I don't see it.
I don't really see the need for it either.
Yeah, but I think Rivera, definitely.
I will say this for Trevor Hoffman, just the pure number of saves that he amassed, like he's over 600. I know he's second on the list, but I mean, 600 saves is it's a big amount. That number's hard to ignore. And that's kind of my problem with Billy Wagner is the number of saves, which I think is – I think he's somewhere in the top 10 all
he's
time.
He's number six all time.
But
– which is nice, but
– how far – I mean, like, he's got
– 422.
He's got like 60% of what Rivera has, right?
And that's – to me, that's the big number that –
The bar has been reset.
Yeah. And if you're going to be a one-inning save guy, then, and keeping in mind that I don't think relievers at this point, unless you're, like, to me, Rivera is the perfect example of a Hall of Famer.
So Billy Wagner's six. Who are the five guys ahead of him? Rivera, Hoffman, Smith. Who else?
I'll have to go look him back up because I just saw okay. He was number six. But
judging on who number four and five are, I can let you know if Billy Wagner. Well, no,
I'm saying I don't think he is. Yeah, Lee Smith was third, but I do think. Comparatively speaking, well, Francisco Rodriguez
is number four.
Yeah, 430,
and he's still playing.
John Franco, 424, not a Hall of Famer,
and he had some postseason success.
Yeah,
he's still not a Hall of Famer. Francisco Rodriguez still playing.
Yeah,
and I don't know how long he's played. I'm guessing his career to this point has been shorter than Billy Wagner's.
Yeah, Wagner played for 16 years.
Okay, how long's K-Rod played? 15-ish. 16-ish, probably about the same.
Yeah, about the same.
I don't consider him a Hall of Famer.
Oh, me either.
So then,
15 years, yeah.
So he's played less years than Billy Wagner, already has more saves.
Yeah.
Billy Wagner's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Sorry.
No, and I think that's the key stat you have to go by. To me.
You got one job.
Yeah.
Is to get saves.
But you look at all the other measurables, and I know baseball guys are such stat geeks.
Yeah.
His numbers match those guys, but the key number. Well, two key things. I mean, Rivera had 230 more saves than he had.
Well, and here's the other thing, and this is the argument for Billy Wagner.
World Series.
Mariano Rivera just played on a much better team than
right, but,
him. So he had a lot more chances to close games out.
True, but part of what makes you a Hall of Famer is winning World Series and winning playoff series. So
Trevor Hoffman's a good I think that's a better guy to put him up against,
right?
Trevor Hoffman played on the same a crappy team too. Although Trevor Hoffman wasn't like a blow it by you, you know.
Well, no, he was able to pitch a long time with that changeup.
Yeah, so they're different kinds of pitchers. But I think the fact that Trevor Hoffman got to 600 saves on the same kind of mediocre baseball team that Billy Wagner played for most of his career.
Yeah,
I think those two guys are more comparable.
Well, the thing is, I'm harsher on these guys. I wouldn't put Hoffman in there either. But I found coming away from it that, okay, Billy Wagner had a lot better career than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
And not a Hall of Fame career, but it's not stupid.
Okay.
When I first saw that tweet, I thought, this is stupid. How dare you? But no, I sit corrected. All right. Pillow Talk is coming up next. We're going to have a female perspective and an expert female perspective. So if you want to get in, now's the time to get on hold. 713-780-3776. All the relationship advice you could possibly want, good, bad, indifferent. But go ahead and give us a call. Let's get lined up, and we'll do that next segment. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
My Pillow presents Here's Your Masters of Love, Fred the Falcon and AJ with Beth Liebling, brought to you by Darling Way and My Pillow.
All right, we're back and very excited about this segment now because we're going to get a female perspective here. And if you want to get in and have a question, 713-780-3776. Beth Liebling joins us and will be joining us, and I'm looking forward to this. Her shop is called Darling Way. It's over in the Heights. I like to refer to it as a romance cornucopia.
I love that.
Come closer. Yeah,
a little closer to the mic. There you go. Yeah, you're probably used to that. You need to be just a little closer.
Put it closer to your mouth.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Like that romantic cornucopia. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah. You're a former family law attorney, and now you own this really cool shop. So you're great for advice, right?
I love to give advice. I love to talk about everything. And I'm happy to address any and all questions about love, relationships, intimacy, confidence.
You made a nice suggestion to me. You sent me home with a pair of underpants from your shop.
Yes.
And as expected, my wife doesn't really, she's not, that's not what her thing, like seeing me in some kind of sexy underwear is not, she doesn't find that to be attractive.
Okay.
But I really liked them.
They felt good. They had like a pouch to hold all my junk in.
Yes.
That's a good pair of underwear. I enjoyed it.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, so thank you for that.
You're absolutely welcome.
That's a great recommendation.
It is true, I think, for everybody that when we start fresh with something on underneath, it mm-hmm. can affect our whole day.
Yeah.
So I think that we somehow have missed the boat with men.
I just like that it supports my balls a little bit. Like it's more so than just like a regular boxer brief would, mm-hmm. which kind of pushes your balls up against your body. This actually has like a nice little pouch to hold your balls.
And they
call it separate from your taint, which is probably good for hygiene reasons. You probably smell better down there when your balls aren't slapping up against your taint all day.
I assume that you sweat less, actually, even from chafing. Men who sit even at a desk when they're not in that nice little Joey pouch.
Yeah,
there can be a lot of chafing.
Yeah, I like that.
So I'm so glad.
Yeah,
I'm glad they fit.
You did me a big favor.
And didn't you enjoy looking at yourself in the mirror actually before you got dressed or afterwards?
It was hideous to look at myself in the mirror as usual, but I felt better. And that's what really matters, is if I felt better or not.
Did she like touching on them? Because they're super soft.
She did say they were soft. She said mm-hmm. they feel good. But I said, these are supposed to be sexy underwear. And she's like, well, I mean, seeing you in underwear is, I mean.
Right. Well, so let's just be clear, though. We didn't give you, quote, sexy underwear.
No.
It's just that you are simply used to using just coverage as
right.
underwear. The ones we got you were nice, but they were not. They were a step up from where you were, but they were like a work shoe. They were not designed to
really
entice.
What would you consider sexy men underwear? Is there a such thing?
Oh, there's definitely all sorts of sexy men underwear.
Because I feel like if I were to wear a thong or something like that, it would look horrible on me. Like some sort of like a banana hammock.
Yes. Well, just like women. If I were to wear a string bikini, it would not look good on me either.
Okay.
So, but absolutely, there are things that would look better on you. There are things that will enhance your junk. There are things that will enhance your tush.
I need to know about this.
Oh, there's all sorts of fun that you can have.
I need to know all about that.
Yes. And a lot of...
But it's like women use it as like a lie. I always feel bad because I feel like push-up bras and makeup are lies that women tell us. I don't want to be a liar.
No. And at Darling Way, there's nothing.
Okay.
There's no lying. That's not part of me. That's not part of the shop. We want everybody to own what they've got, enjoy it, but make the most of it.
Okay.
And that means enjoying it and dressing it up as nicely as you can. And I tell people, why would you give a gift in a grocery store paper bag?
I don't know.
Wrap it up a little bit nice and go from there.
Yep. Well, we have questions from the texters for you.
Cool.
One says, things have gotten stale. The wife is not interested in me. What do I do? That's pretty general.
That is one of the most common problems, I think, in long-term relationships. Whether you're married or you're not married, things fall into a rut.
I'm curious to hear your advice because I'll give you mine afterwards. I'll give advice and we'll see who gives better advice.
Mine would be dump the bitch, but that's...
Well, that's uncalled for.
Well, just kidding.
That would be one answer, but really it's so much cheaper to keep her, okay?
That's true.
We always start with that
presumption. I can speak to that.
But my thought is that you have to figure out why it's same old, same old. And then you have to take responsibility, each of us does, for trying to shift things up. And it is not necessarily easy, but anything you do, change the prop, change the setting, change the scene, and give her something that she likes in a way that she likes it.
Okay. I was going to say you should masturbate in front of her and like not let her be a part of it and just show her that you don't need her around. And then once women start feeling that way, they start feeling like, oh, wait a minute, he's able to still have the same success without me, then they feel like they need to be back in a part of that success.
But I actually kind of like the idea of what you're saying, but I don't like the vindictiveness that you're coming at it from. So rather than if
someone doesn't want to have sex with me, you always have to be vindictive about it.
That doesn't really work for women, though.
I know.
They then pull further away. If you actually want them to pull forward, then maybe use your approach. Use the masturbation, but
you're saying
tease
do it
them
in a
along
romantic
the way.
Sense?
Yes. And let her know that nothing's required from her. But her presence is there. Enjoy giving
more,
the show. You're a performer.
See, right? I was thinking more like hold an iPad between me and her and do it there. Like what, you know. Like,
oh, with watching? Sure.
No. Like let's say you're my wife. I would put an iPad right here and watch my movie and just take care of business without like looking at the iPad and not her. That would tell her, you know what? If he can get this without me, maybe I should be back a part of the team. That's bad advice, though, right?
Well, but what you would do then, right, she would get back in the team, but she would resent you.
That's okay.
Nobody wants to be working for a team that wants to trade them on something. So the better approach to me is that you actually want her to have relations with you because she likes you. So okay. I would try to turn her on with it. But I like the idea of some self-satisfaction along the way.
Okay.
Just enjoy it also.
All right.
My advice, get a side piece. All right, couple more.
Cheaper to keep her.
Well, you keep her, you just don't tell her. I'm trying to get a girl.
That's awful, friend.
Well, hey.
It's awful.
There's a reason we have different perspectives.
You give
here.
Horrible advice.
I know. I'm trying to get a girl out of my league. How do I keep my confidence up? What do I do?
You start fresh. You wear something that you feel looks good in. You're honest with yourself about what your strengths are. You're honest with yourself about what your weaknesses are. And then you absolutely go with your strengths. It is amazing how many men don't get the woman they want because they never even ask. They're so unwilling to take a chance that it's never going to happen. Take a chance. Go ask. Ask several times. Be nice. Figure out what it is she wants. Do things differently and let that self-confidence be what wins her over.
I think the best way to get a woman out of your league, and I took advice from someone who got a lot of women out of his league on this, a guy named Bill Cosby. And he taught me that if you really want something, you can get it if you can make them laugh. And laughter is where not the other way that he got the women. Laughter is how I'm sure he found his wife. But he had some other recommendations that I was out on. But Bill Cosby, an expert at getting women out of his league. Laughter is the key. You make them laugh and you get them.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. It takes confidence to make somebody laugh, right?
Chicks to laugh
with them. Yes.
If they if you take your shirt off and they start laughing, not great.
The same, yeah.
Not great.
But you can turn that too. Of course you can turn that too.
What do you do? You shake them at them?
Sure. Okay. If you've got a nice carpet of fur there, you let them rub it.
Okay.
You talk to them about how it feels so good. You talk to them about how gentle their hands are upon your skin. Oh, you can go with any situation, but you're right.
Okay.
Confidence and laughter, absolutely. They'll cover the day. And in bed, laughter, awesome. Love and laughter go hand in hand.
Not drugs, though.
No. Well.
Unless it's consensual that you're taking the drugs.
Right. Like, if you both smoke weed beforehand, I think that enhances things quite a bit.
Because I always thought that alcohol was, that's the great equalizer.
Yeah.
If you get drunk with a chick, you're probably going to be more handsome to her. That's just the way it works. And honestly, she'll be prettier to you, too. She, you can justify to yourself hooking up with a 5 if you're drunk enough. Because she'll look like a 7.5 if you're super drunk.
But your performance will be at a 1 or a 2. But so she won't want to do it again.
Yeah, because when you wake up in the morning, you'll wake up next to a 5. You're not going to want to do it again either. So, it works both ways. At the time, it keeps everybody happy. And then later on, it is what it is.
That, as long as you call it is what it is, I consider that fast food of romance.
Yes.
Fast food, that's fine. Right. Once in a while, fast food is good. Don't pretend that you're fine.
You can't
dying.
Live on fast food.
No, you shouldn't.
You can't live on it.
Not happily.
You'll make a mess or you'll get the AIDS.
Well, I would just say for the girl out of your league, just go ask her out, dude. It's like basketball. When I used to play basketball, when I got the ball, I would shoot it every time. Just take the shot.
You are the worst teammate.
I know. I was a terrible teammate, but that's all right.
But he doesn't have a team, so it's perfect. He should be taking the shots. Every shot he can get. And if he can get himself in a good position, then all the better.
I mean, that is kind of the good thing is if you ask 100 chicks that are way too hot for you to hook up, and one of them says yes.
Win.
You won that one.
That's a victory.
They will. If you make it something they want to do, it is amazing because nobody gets asked out as often as they want. Doesn't matter how beautiful you are. Doesn't matter how handsome you are. Very, very, very few people actually get as many invitations as they would like.
And if you ask out 100 hot chicks and none of them say yes, that's when you just start asking out ugly girls because they...
Well, drop down. Don't go to ugly. Just drop down a level.
You need to go to
change
ugly girls
the way
for
you're
a while.
Asking.
You go to
don't
ugly
go
girls
to
for a while until your slump is busted. And once you've been with a few uglies, your confidence will go up a little bit. And you say, you know what? I'm ready to move on from these uglies. And then you move up to the mid-tier girl.
I have seen some of the least attractive men with some of the most beautiful women. And
those guys are rich.
No, they have skills.
No, they're rich.
They have skills. They have an appeal. They have something going on. And they make the woman with them. Nope. Those are easy to spot. These are men that somehow make the women they're with feel like the most amazing person ever. And hot, hot, hot.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It can be done.
Or they have, you know.
Ferraris.
Yeah. No, well, I was thinking 18-wheelers, but.
Yeah. They've got a big rig.
Yeah.
Hey, those big rigs are really hard to drive. So do not just espouse big rigs. They're not all they're cracked
but
up to be.
But some chicks
it's hard
are
to
into
park
the,
them in
some,
a small garage.
Some chicks are into the big rig.
Some are.
Every one I've ever seen on a porno.
And some chicks are into the big rig. If they don't like it in the garage, you could just pull it around back.
There are some. There's somebody for everybody. That's for sure.
My girl only wants the same old thing. How can I get her to spice it up?
Oh, he's wanting anal. Yeah, or a threesome, something.
Something like
one
that.
Of those things for sure.
Yeah, that's
what he means by that, right?
Well,
that's
that
your
could
guess,
be,
right?
But there are a lot of actual men who don't even want that extreme. They don't want that much frisky in their bedrooms. They just want a little something. There are some people who hesitate before they will take their clothes off. They don't want the lights on. So you never know where somebody's starting in terms of what they want romantically. But you have to start someplace. This gentleman needs to figure out what it is that he wants and then start taking small steps towards getting it and not asking her to do it. Don't put it on her shoulders. You take the initiative. You make something happen.
Are you telling him to get a hooker?
I would not tell somebody to do that.
Okay. I thought that's what you were saying because they'll do pretty much anything from what I've heard.
That's
sometimes
a rumor,
they might just arrest you too. So I just, you know, I would be a little careful.
I've already told the people about the workaround for that. Yeah. When you approach a hooker, you always say, instead of having sex, can we just go up to my hotel room and take some nude pictures of you? Mm-hmm. A real hooker will say, yeah, for the same money, I'll do that. A cop will say, nope, because that would be legal. I can't arrest you for it. And then you're going to have nudes of me? No, thanks. So that's...
I did not know that I was going to learn something so valuable
You're
here
welcome.
Today. I really appreciate that. Uh-oh. That's very good to know. And just condoms. That's
always. Oh, yeah. You can't. Listen, you should never have sex with a hooker, but if you do, you should always wear two condoms.
Just live
in love responsibly.
Asking for a friend, where can a normal guy find a normal girl that isn't a club or a bar?
Online dating
Tinder,
is
right, John?
Absolutely the most amazing thing. And there are so many people out there and so many great people who want to meet, quote, normal people, respectable people. Go have fun. Have a real relationship. I think online dating is awesome. It can be done really poorly. It can be done really well. I love to help people with their profiles. I'll help them go through emails. I will help you try to figure out how you know when somebody's scamming you or not. But when done well, online dating is just like going to a buffet.
Monte Teo needed you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we need to go to break. Can you hang around with us for a little more?
I'm happy to.
Having a little fun with this.
I'm enjoying y'all. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. But first, before we go to break, I'm going to tell you about my bookie. And if you want to get in on the action here for the bowl games, I know you've been hearing me talk about mybookie.lv. Well, playoffs are coming. You know, one more week of NFL. Still time to jump in. And I'll tell you, the one thing I like about my bookie, well, there's a lot of things I like about my bookie, you do get paid if you win. And I have been playing a lot of horses on there as well. They've got a great race book for those of you who are into that. And if you've just been sitting here all year and you've been thinking, sooner or later I'm going to do this, and you haven't done it yet, well, now's the time. Because my bookie is going to pay you. That is the best thing about it. If you hit, you're going to get paid. And I've had so many sites that I've been on that you win. And this happened to me a couple of years ago. Had a huge score at the Belmont. Had to wait 3 months to get paid. Join now. MyBookie.lv is going to match your deposit. Special bowl season offer here. How about this? 100%. 100% bonus just for the bowl season. Use promo code FRED to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.lv today or call 844-900-BET. You play, you win, you get paid. Hey, time to ditch your bookie. Time to check out MyBookie. Sign up today, mybookie.lv, promo code FRED.
That was Pillow Talk, presented by Darling Way and MyPillow. Visit MyPillow.com and use code ESPNQB for a buy one, get one free deal. So
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports! Sports!
All right, so we only had a couple minutes left, so we asked Beth to stick around. And she's going to be joining us every week. But we wanted you to tell the people a little bit about your shop. It's it's in the Heights on White Oak. It's very easy to find. And you're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 7. And what made you decide to do this?
I got tired of people letting go of the intimacy in their relationships and getting divorced. And divorce just stinks, even when it's the right thing to do. And I thought that if people had a place that they could go that felt uplifting and respectful and exciting to come and find their flirty self, that I'd rather have people help people stay together. So that's what we're doing.
Well, go by and check this place out. It is fantastic. We're going to swing by there again. I mean, she's got so many cool things. And I have to tell you, the price points on these things are not what you would expect, because you walk in, you feel like it's upscale, you look at the prices, and you go, wow, this is awesome.
Well, we have something for everybody. I grew up in a very value-conscious family, and I've tried very hard to make sure that no matter what your version of romance is, for $20 you can get something fun that'll make your whole weekend, or for $600 you can get something that'll keep for years. So whatever you want, we've got it. Everything romantic, and everybody should walk around smiling more often.
From family law attorney to concierge of love, that's what you are. All right,
happily,
Beth, thank you so much. Looking forward to this segment. We'll be doing it again next week on Wednesdays. Good job, Jong Lee. Good job, AJ Hoffman. Great job, Beth Liebling.
Thank y'all very much. It was so much fun.
All right. Well, we'll definitely be doing it again. All right. That's going to wrap it up. We will see you tomorrow at Speaking of the Heights, Christians on White Oak from 4 to 7. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.